from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, Dan Devine writes about the NBA for Yahoo, talks about the NBA on the podcast, the Essential Podcast, No Cap Room. Just go ahead wherever you get your podcasts and type those words in, No Cap Room, and you can hear Dan more than you do the 15 minutes on my show every week. Follow him on Twitter or X at Your Man Devine. So, Dan, what's the story of this? The first two games?
The Celtics can get whatever shot they want whenever they want it, and the Mavericks can't. I think that's a lot of it. There's a frustrating component, I think, for a lot of analysis of this, because you want to be able to say, you know, here's Jason Tatum rising to the moment and taking the game by the scruff of his neck and like ascending to the ranks of the greats. Like, but that's not what this Celtics team is, and not what it has been first, whatever, 8 months or however, you know, best since the opening tip in October. This is a team that is built on, it's like a whack-a-mole game. Somebody pops up, you hit that, whatever pops up with the hammer, and then somebody else pops up somewhere else, and you can't get enough of them. You can't plug up enough holes in the dam. There will be a leak springing somewhere. Last night, it's Drew Holiday, because Jason Tatum drives to the basket 29 times. Jaylen Brown drives to the basket 23 times. That consistent downhill attacking collapses the defense, and then it's swing to the corner, Drew Holiday. It's Drew Holiday acting like a 6'4" center in the dunker spot. It's Drew Holiday running the floor in transition, because Dallas is constantly trying to plug leaks elsewhere, and it's part of it is just the, you know, if you have perimeter defenders that can be exploited, one ball screen or one isolation, one guy beats you off the dribble, everything collapses from there. Otherwise, you're giving up a steady stream of layups. And the Boston Celtics don't have that problem on the other side, because as it turns out, when you can throw out Drew Holiday, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum as your four wing perimeter defenders, and then, you know, Al Horford can dial it up on a switch now and again, Kristaps Porzingis in drop coverage. Like, there just aren't a whole lot of places to crack the Celtics open. Boston's having an easier time getting what it wants, and Dallas, outside of Luka Doncic, has a battering ram, which we saw be pretty effective for about a quarter and a half until that, you know, runs out of gas and you need somebody else to pick up the slack, and nobody else on Dallas is doing it. Dallas is having a really hard time generating good looks and cashing out the ones they get. And that, to me, is the terms of engagement in the first two games have been entirely set by Boston. And that's a gigantic reason that we're heading back to Dallas 2-0 Celtics.
And it, because of the way that has happened, it feels, I mean, what, we'll see. Like, the Suns were up 2-0, right? So,
sure.
But it feels futile. Like, they're just lining up and beating them, particularly defensively. Like, Luka hasn't been bad. Obviously, Kyrie hasn't been good. But how much of Kyrie not being good is that he can't get any of the stuff that he usually gets, because there's no room. You know, it feels, and maybe I'm just recency bias guy, it feels futile for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Kidd's a hell of a lot smarter than me. So maybe Jason Kidd looks at it and sees some tactical levers that can be pulled. But, and there's also just, you can play cleaner in theory, right?
Right.
I think 15 turnovers last night, 10 of them were live ball turnovers. So it's like, if the Celtics had 10 steals, and I believe they scored something like more than 2 points per possession off a steal. So guaranteed bucket, and sometimes with the hook of a free throw or a three-point shot off of a steal. So you got to limit those. You know, you're better off throwing the ball into the 50th row rather than putting it in harm's way, you know, live to play another day. So there's that, right? right? You obviously, 8 missed free throws in a 7-point loss is the right kind of thing that's going to make Jason Kidd wake up in the middle of the night, you know? There's stuff to be, there's, you know, things to be had there. It's, and again, this is, I would love to sound smarter than this, but if Kyrie Irving is going to shoot like 30% from the floor and not make a 3 in the series, it's going to be a short series. And I think that I was talking with my colleague Vinny Goodwill. We did the post-game podcast for Yahoo Sports last night. And one of the things that Vinny said was, you know, I mean, you got to imagine Kyrie's not going to shoot like that again. He's not going to play like that again. And I certainly understand that. In 4 games against the Celtics this season, he's shooting, I think, 4-for-22 from three-point range going back to the regular season, and under 40% from the floor. He's got, I think it's like 71 points on 80 shots, and has gotten to the free throw line 4 times in 4 games. Like, he's just not getting any oxygen, and he's not creating any. And as you mentioned, some of that is, he's the 1 6-foot-1 guy, right, or 6-foot-2 guy on the floor, and he's having to deal with 6'4" Drew Holiday, who's built like a middle linebacker, and Derek White, who isn't quite that sturdy, but is sort of 6'4", 6'5", and an excellent defender, able to get around every screen, so Kyrie's never getting a breath of fresh air. And every time he turns the corner, he's staring down a shrunken-in defense, because they don't have to worry too much about Derek Jones Jr. or Maxi Kleber, who doesn't want to shoot now that he's come back from his shoulder injury. He just clearly does not feel comfortable taking shots. Missed a few early last night, and that was all she wrote for him. If the ball goes to P.J. Washington, like, P.J. Washington has acquitted himself fine through the first 2 games, but if you're talking about, like, the expected value of a possession, P.J. Washington getting the ball and either taking an above-the-break 3 rather than one from the short corners, or pump-faking and, like, driving into defense and then shooting a floater, he's making those shots, but Boston will let you take those. I mean, that is a win for the Celtics defense. A contested, like, not at the rim 2-pointer. Okay, do that 90 times. And I think that, like, Joe Mazzulla has you know, said all season long, it's about, you know, there's a math battle here. There's a math problem we're trying to solve and we're trying to make impossible for the defense to solve. The Celtics get up, I believe it was 42 3-pointers in game 1, 39 in game 2. Dallas has not gotten over 30, and maybe not even close to 30 in the first 2 games. I don't have the box scores in front of me. I know for a fact Boston has generated, in both games, in game 1 and game 2, generated more spot-up shots, so like drive, kick, catch, shoot, more spot-up shots in both games 1 and 2 than the Mavericks have in the series total. Like, they're just getting easier stuff, and maybe Jason Kidd has some pathways to create some of those things. If you've got a Wonder Boy set, this would be the time to draw it up. If you've got that double secret probation answer, let's see it. Because if you don't have one and you don't get 50 from Luka or Kyrie finally getting loose, I don't know that we're going to be going back to Boston.
It's funny. I look at this here in Memphis through the prism of the Grizzlies. You know, you try to get what the secret is, seeing who emerges as champion and what's the key and how do we replicate this. And the problem is it is interesting. I think about Ja Morant in this, and he would be hunted in an NBA Finals. And honestly, even when you then think about the draft, like, getting wings who can play both ends of the court is like, it's gold. When you get to this level. Now, of course, it's not easy to get Drew Holiday and Derek White and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown all on one team. But it does, I don't know, that's sort of what I'm extracting from this, is those guys are absolute gold.
Yeah, and you go back a couple of years, it's why you take the home run swing on Zaire Williams, right? You look at it and say, if we can get a 6'8", 6'9", with a 7-foot-plus wingspan guy who can switch every screen and shoot threes at a high level, like, there is no place too high to draft that guy, right? It's why Mikal Bridges was not available for 4 picks or whatever. It's why OG Anunoby is going to get $35 million a year, like, and so on down the line. It's why I have to imagine. I would be fascinated to find out what the like negotiations were like when Milwaukee was talking to Portland. Like, if they tried to be like, can you make us a real firm promise you're not going to trade Drew to Boston right after this?
Right.
But like, yeah, those guys. Like, The league has shifted in terms of like the regular season the last couple of years. It's the, you know, land of the Giants again. It's Godzilla versus Kong, where you've got Joel Embiid, you've got Nikola Jokic, you've got Giannis, and these are the guys who dictate and impose their will over the course of regular season. And to some degree, it has happened also in the playoffs. I mean, you know, we just saw Jokic do this a year ago, right? But so much of playoff basketball is matchup driven. What is the weak point on an opposing team's like structural makeup, and how do you push on it? So from Memphis's perspective, I think there's two things. One, yes, size and wings, right? Like, so it is a little bit of a danger where you look at it and say, well, Ja's a little too small here. If you've got Desmond Bain guarding up, he might be a little too small. If you're trying to play the three guards with either Kennard or Marcus Smart or whoever, that's kind of small. So I think that's something to look at and say, yeah, you really need, and that's why, you know, whatever you can get from G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams, like, the bigger you can be across those perimeter positions, the better your chances are of holding up defensively. But the flip side of that too is all those guys got to be able to shoot and put the ball on the deck and make something happen. Right. Because like Derek Jones Jr. was an incredibly important part of Dallas's run through the first three rounds, and now every time the ball gets to him, if it's kicked out to the perimeter, it's a gift. Boston's like, thank goodness. Okay, go for it. And like in game one, the story of Boston's defense. Speaking too quickly, I apologize. The story of Boston's defense was one on one with Kyrie and Luka. Only we are face guarding the other guy. We are not going to let them get shots. Luka starts busting them up with the ISOs in game two, and it's all right. We will show a little bit more help, but it's coming off of Derek Jones Jr. It's coming off of Dante Exum. It's coming off of Josh Green. All these guys who are perfectly serviceable players who made important contributions to Dallas both in the regular season and through the first three rounds. And now when they get the ball with 15 feet of space in front of them in this series, it's basically grim death for that offensive possession. So when you get, it gets harder the further you go. And those guys, a defensive specialist is, you know, has great value, but you got to be able to do both things at this level. And Boston's just got way more of those guys than Dallas does right now.
You mentioned Jason Tatum. And we do like a narrative, right? We like, sure, whether it's Anthony Edwards emerging as the next MJ, or, and then we got Luka. And like, we want this, now we want to be able to point to Jason Tatum, and now he takes his rightful place among the truly. Sure. And it's an, this will be odd for him. If it goes this way and they win in five or six and he continues to do what he has done, which is be a good player and an unselfish player and contribute in all kinds of ways, but not a transcendent offensive performance, what are we to make of that and Jason Tatum?
Yeah, and so one of my, this wasn't a hot take, or I didn't think it was a hot take, and I got some response to it in game one, just because I think everything Boston and also everything internet results in some heat at a certain point, but right. I think that the season the series you're seeing from Tatum is to some degree the season that you saw from Tatum, just like a microcosm of it. There are times where it looks underwhelming, where the two-point shots are like, why are you taking that? Or you're like, that's too many smoked layups, that's too many sidestep pull-ups when you could have gotten something better if you push it a little bit later into the clock. But then you kind of zoom out, and you're like, all right, this guy is leading his team in rebounding. He's guarding centers and playing point guard. The entire offense is generated based on him taking a ball screen or working in isolation and then getting downhill, drawing three guys to him and creating all of those looks. And he plays 42 or 45 minutes, never comes off the court. He guards everybody on switches. You can feel comfortable on him switching onto Luka or Kyrie or trying to box out Daniel Gafford. Like, there is just, he does everything. It's just, but when he's also shooting, you know, not scoring 20 a game or getting, you know, shooting 40% from the field, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like that is superstar play. And so the analogy I made with the understanding, I hope understanding, that I'm not saying he's this guy,
yeah,
but the quietness of it and the like high floor rising tide lifts all boats thing, it's like maybe he's a little less Kobe and a little more Duncan. And maybe that's kind of the idea where it's like, we don't have to worry about the thing where the opponent can cause the leaks that we can't cover, because we can cover everything. And part of the reason we can cover everything is because we have like a 6'10" point center who we feel comfortable guarding everybody, and also is like is not going to take the bait and is going to drive 30 times to the rim and has the physicality to be able to do that and never gets tired and doesn't need to come off the floor. And, like, when you zoom out, that's a pretty friggin' valuable player. But it's not – the highlight reels include way too many missed shots for you to feel good about it. So, yeah, I mean, all of which is to say – there is definitely a world where in two games or three games or however long it would take for the Celtics to win, which also, by the way, Kristaps Porzingis left the game with a leg injury, right, and that could be a gigantic swing factor. We have to see what his status is for game three. Everything can change on a trifle in the playoffs, but there is a world where Jason Tatum winds up leading the Celtics in, like, points, assists, rebounds, and playing point guard and center in the series, and by the end of it, they have outscored the Mavericks by, like, 50 points in his minutes. And, like, how is that guy not the most valuable player in the series? It's like, well, because it didn't look as good. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky thing, and I think he's kind of breaking some people's brains. But maybe the most important thing and the more relevant thing if you're a Celtics fan is he's also kind of breaking the Mavericks.
The podcast is No Caprum. You can read him over at Yahoo. Follow him on Twitter or X at YourManDivine. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Yep.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.